Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 457 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. On today's show, we are brainstorming the ways in which we can have a full life that's overflowing with the things we love without spending a lot of money. Now, I came across a post on the World Wide Web. It was from thefrugalgirl.com, and you already know I linked to it in this week's show notes. And this post that I'm referencing today, it was all about the ways in which the blogger practices stealth frugality. So we know what stealth wealth is, right? Stealth wealth is when a person has a ton of money but lives frugally, right? They're dressed in their bummy old sweatshirt. They drive a car from the 90s. They got a lot of money in the bank, but they don't flaunt it. Stealth frugality is the opposite. It's when we're living a rich life filled, surrounded by the things and people we love, but without the gigantic sum in the bank account. If I were to call someone stealthily frugal, I would be referring to a person who is somehow managing to live a great life, but they're living that great life on a budget. And so that's what we're talking about today, how we can all practice stealth frugality in our own lives. There is a misconception out there that frugal living, sustainable living, it's all about deprivation. But for the past five-ish years or more, perhaps, I've made buying my last resort, and I'm here to tell you that I do not feel at all deprived. In fact, I feel, and I truly feel it, I'm not just saying it, I truly feel like I'm living a rich life. We as a culture, as an American culture, we have been conditioned to be so darn wasteful, haven't we? We waste food. And I say we collectively, maybe you don't, but collectively, Americans are ridiculously wasteful. Wasting food, wasting the planet's resources, wasting money. I personally dislike waste in all its forms. And when it comes to money, because that's what we're talking about today, I dislike spending extra money when I don't have to, because again, spending money when I don't have to, I consider that wasteful. One of my missions with this podcast is to call out being wasteful for what it really is. It's unattractive. It's not a flex. Nobody writes on their Match.com profile, "I'm really darn wasteful," right? Nobody wants to be wasteful. And yet here we are. Americans are indeed wasteful. And so, yes, I do tend to be more frugal than most. But for me, it's less about saving money and more about being less wasteful, if that makes any sense. So today's show is a laundry list of the ways in which you and I can live rich lives, but do so frugally. Now, I will say, if you are a supporter of the show, you are getting an extended episode of this show. If you're not a supporter, but you want to be, link is in the show notes. Thank you so much. Or you can subscribe via Apple Podcast. And again, thank you for supporting my work, my baby, my passion, which of course is this show and its mission. We do have lots of Stephanie stories today. So if you like a good Stephanie story, you're in for a treat. If you hate a Stephanie story, we'll be back to regular content next week. But here we go. I want to just quickly mention all the ways in which we practice stealth frugality every single day as a sustainable minimalists community. These are the things we're not going to talk long and hard about them today because we do it all the time. We talk about these things all the time. But thrifting is a stealthily frugal habit, right? Asking for experiences for your children's birthday and Christmas gifts, and like museums and tickets to, I don't know, shows and symphonies instead of stuff. That is a stealthily frugal way to give your family some culture without spending any of your money. Harnessing the power of your community when you need something new, asking your neighbor if you can borrow something instead of buying it, another stealthily frugal habit. Mending the quality items you have. Just the other day, Stephanie story number one. I have some really good quality socks. They're made by Buffalo Wool Company. They're like amazing, and they're not cheap socks. They were given to me as a gift. My feet are always cold, but they're not cold in the winter when I wear these socks. Buffalo Wool Company, I'm not getting paid to mention them. I'll link to them in the show notes. They're just that good. But so one of my socks, I noticed on the bottom, my feet were unnaturally cold. I took them off and I looked at the bottom and there was a hole the size of about a dime at the bottom of it. And I don't know how it happened. These socks are not old enough to have a hole. They're not worn out. There was just a random hole. I think I might have stepped on a nail on my wood floor or something. But you can best believe, as a sustainable minimalist, I'm not going to chuck that sock and go buy another pair. No, no, no. I'm going to mend that sock. I did mend that sock. And I'm going to take care of what I already own. And so I just want to say all of that at the outset. We're not talking about those lifestyle habits right now, because we talk about them all the time. We're going to talk about new habits, new things we can all enact. And the first way to practice a stealthily frugal life, so live really well without spending a lot of money, the first way I want to talk about today is inviting your friends and family over to your house when you want to see them instead of meeting at a coffee shop or restaurant. All right, so have you ever noticed that whenever you leave the house, you tend to spend money? I've noticed it, and I don't like it. You can get around this, at least when it comes to friend dates, by inviting people to your house. I know, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, but then I have to clean. Oh, but, oh no. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. If you want to see a friend and catch up, it's really not that much extra work to tidy up the things in the room you're going to be sitting in, and then brew a pot of coffee, maybe serve some muffins, and sit down at your own table as opposed to meeting somewhere else, somewhere outside of the home. Because again, when you meet somewhere outside of the home, almost always you're going to spend more money than you would have liked. Now, I will say I do this often. I like opening my house to my loved ones. I always have, and I hope I always will. But most of the people in my life don't always reciprocate with an invitation to their house the next time. My family does, of course, but my friends generally don't. And if you're a friend and you're listening, I love you, but you know it's true. So when I get sick of hosting, because let's be real, if I'm the only one hosting all the time, it starts to feel really one-sided, starts to feel really unequal. So when I start feeling that way, I try my best not to get resentful, and I try instead to suggest a non-consumerist place to meet. So maybe I suggest we meet at a trail and go for a walk and talk. I bring my dog gets a walk, I get some exercise, everybody's happy, we spend $0. Maybe if the kids are coming along, we head to the playground. I'm still catching up with my friend, but I'm not spending any money. I believe that maintaining our friendships should not have to mean taking out our wallets. Now, related to this, I saw someone post on Instagram recently. It was a reel, and the sentiment of the reel basically was this. The poster does not want to go out anymore and meet friends at restaurants because she doesn't want to spend $80 on dinner and drinks anymore. Because the purpose is to see the friend. She wants friends who are willing to go on errands with her and catch up while also getting something done. So let's all normalize seeing our friends in creative ways. I'm thinking about dinner, right? If I have plans to see a friend for dinner, I have to do an awful lot. There's a lot of upfront work there. I have to get dressed, first of all, which for me, I'll be honest, that's kind of a challenge. I'm not good with clothes. Clothes and Stephanie do not mix. I have to do my hair and makeup. Well, let me rephrase. I suppose I don't have to, but I'm going to want to look decent, so I'm going to do it, right? Then, you know, because dinner is traditionally an evening activity, so I would either need to A, ensure that my husband will be watching my children, or B, secure childcare elsewhere. And then, of course, dinner costs a lot of money. If you've been to a restaurant lately, you know it's true. Food prices are off the charts. And that's not even talking about alcohol. We'll talk about alcohol in a little bit. What about asking your friend to come over for coffee? Or what about asking your friend to meet at a playground or a hiking trail? What about meeting at, I don't know, Costco, let's say, or Target, or wherever, and doing your errands together? Let's normalize this, because I know for me, if these options were more mainstream, I would definitely be seeing more of my friends. So that's idea number one, to have a rich life without spending money. Invite your friends and family over to your house or suggest a non-consumerist place to meet. Next up, idea number two, to live a rich life without spending a lot of money. And it is, of course, to figure out what you love and learn how to do it better than the store-bought variety. So we're going to talk about my nails first, and then we're going to talk about cocktails. But as I'm talking, I want you to think about, you know, what it is you love. What it is you love that you could learn how to do just as well, if not better. So let's talk about nails first. I talk about nails a lot on this show, don't I? Well, I paint my own nails. I give myself manicures, and I don't think they look all that sloppy. I get compliments on my nails an awful lot. I must pat myself on the back and mention this. Somebody says, oh, I love your nails. And I say, guess what? I did it myself. I'm not going to keep that to myself. Have you ever thought about how expensive manicures and pedicures are? Like, where I live, I know in cities where there's a lot of salons, the supply is up, so the demand is down, and they're cheaper. I know in New York City, you could get a great manicure for like, I don't know, $25 maybe, $20 maybe. Where I live, a manicure is at least $40, maybe $45 with tip. So, all right, let's just say a mani-pedi combo costs you $80 where you live with tip. Okay. Twice a month, that's $160. Have you ever added that up for the year? $160 times 12 months, that's just under $2,000 we're spending on our nails. Well, I'm here to say, ladies and gentlemen, too, but if you like having nice nails, you can do them yourself for a fraction of the price, and they will look just as great as if you got them professionally done. Now, I started doing my own nails a couple years ago after airing a conversation here on the podcast with Megan Mickelson. It was episode, I believe, 194, linked in the show notes, of course. And our conversation centered around the toxins that are in traditional nail polish. So Megan had suggested Dazzle Dry as a nail system without the nasties, specifically without the formaldehyde. Dazzle Dry is a salon quality product. It really does look just as good as what you would get in a salon. And in fact, some salons do carry Dazzle Dry. You have to pay extra for it, of course, but you can buy it yourself on the website. And I will say it doesn't last as long as the formaldehyde-filled products, but I feel better knowing that I'm not, you know, harming my health. Now, I want to say something else about nails, and then we'll get back to the tip. The tip, of course, being figure out how to do or make what you love, but do it or make it better. So let's go back to talking about nails, and let's talk about self-care for a minute. If you are a ride or die listener and you've been around for a while, you may remember my assertion a few years back that we do not have to spend money on self-care. Self-care means caring for yourself, your person. Brushing your teeth is self-care. Hashtag self-care culture is late-stage capitalism personified, because paying to care for yourself, that is a capitalist construct. We do not have to spend a single cent to care for ourselves. Now, all that said, I do still go to nail salons once in a while, but it's a treat. It's a treat. It's something special. It's not part of my regular self-care routine. And just one more thought about nails before we move on. When are the cat claws trend going to end? Like, what's with the super pointy nails? When is that going to move on out? Because I'm not loving it. But all right. Anyway, the tip is to find what you love and learn how to make it or do it better. Let's talk about cocktails for a minute. Perhaps instead of going out to your favorite bar or restaurant that makes the best I don't know, old-fashioned in the whole world. Perhaps you make them at home. Maybe you set up a little mini bar area in your home. Cocktails out of the house, so buying cocktails somewhere, they are so freaking expensive, aren't they? The last cocktail I had out of the house was about $16. $16. $16. That's more than a decent meal. If you love your cocktails, and I'll be honest, I'm not a cocktail lover, if I'm going to be frank, but if you love cocktails, I see an opportunity here. I see an opportunity for you to get serious about your mixology skills. This thing that you love, learn how to make it yourself. But here's the key. Learn how to make it exactly to your taste. And when you do, you're learning how to make it better than if you bought it at your favorite bar. This, in my humble opinion, is where the lasting change happens. You've got to stick with the experimentation phase long enough to do it better than the store-bought or restaurant-bought version. And yes, here we're talking about cocktails, but I encourage you to think about whatever you love that you consistently purchase. Maybe it's getting your nails done. Maybe it's buying pizza from the pizza place. You can make your own pizza at home. And if you experiment for a while, you'll get it right eventually. And then you'll be making your own pizza at home for a fraction of the cost of that $18 pie that you buy down the road. And yes, $18, there's an artisanal pizza shop nearby me. $18 for a cheese pizza. $18, that's ridiculous. Don't deprive yourself by getting this thing you love only once in a while because it's so expensive. Get it all the time by learning how to do it or make it yourself. This right there is what leads to a life that feels rich, right? Another great example here that it's just coming to my mind as I'm talking in my basement. Coffee. When I worked as a teacher, now this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm always truthful, so I'll be honest. When I was a teacher, I would stop at either Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks most mornings, like at least 4 out of 5 mornings in the work week. Dunkin' Donuts was the go-to because I could get my medium for like $1.97. But on really bad days, I splurged and went to get my grande vanilla soy latte at Starbucks for like almost $6, I think it was. But guess what? I learned how to brew my own coffee, and I learned how to brew my own coffee exactly to my own tastes. So now Dunkin' Donuts, which by the way, Dunkin' Donuts coffee is gross. I'm going to say it's not good coffee. It's not good. But anyway, these days, Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, they've lost their allure for me because I've learned how to brew coffee better. And so when I do buy coffee outside of the house, it's an extra treat. But I'm living a rich life because I'm having coffee, which I love, every darn day for a fraction of the price. That's stealth frugality. It's time. It's time, my friends, for our sponsor break. It's not time for a sponsor break if you're a supporter, but for all of the rest of you, we're going to take our sponsor break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about enjoying our hobbies without all the extras. I'll see you in a minute. If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Mother's Day is around the corner, and I have the best gift idea for you. Hold on to your hats. It's mylifeinabook.com. Every week, My Life in a Book will send your mom a question via email. They will compile all of your mom or the mom in your life's answers and create a legacy keepsake book. The book becomes something you and future generations can treasure forever. I gave both my mother and my mother-in-law My Life in a Book, and they've already started responding to the prompts. When my mother-in-law received her first prompt, she said, "Oh my goodness, what a thoughtful gift." And that's what we all want, right? We all want to give thoughtful gifts. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day, mylifeinabook.com, and use code SUSTAINABLE for 10% off today. Nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, and that's why I am so excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that offers a full range of products designed to cover all of your garden and lawn needs. In years past, my vegetable garden, I neglected the soil and I didn't have much yield. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, your garden may not succeed. And so this year, I am so excited to cultivate the soil before planting the plants with Coast of Maine's organic products. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. So next time you're at your local retailer, look for Coast of Maine products. Get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. coastofmaine.com. And we're back on today's show. We're discussing ways in which we can live a life that's rich. It feels rich. It feels fancy. But we're doing so without throwing an awful lot of money out the window. Before the break, we discussed inviting our friends over to our homes instead of meeting at a restaurant or a bar or a coffee shop. And we also talked about figuring out how to make or do what we love, but making or doing it better than the store-bought variety. And now we're discussing our hobbies. My next thought is all about enjoying our hobbies without the extras. Now, you know I'm going to do it, listeners. You know I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk about running. And I know that I already know that there is absolutely nothing more annoying in the world than a runner who talks about running to non-runners. Like, I know it, but I'm going to do it. So buckle up. I'll try to make it fast. But yes, running is a major hobby of mine. And by the way, I mentioned last week I was going to run a marathon. I ran a marathon last weekend, and guess who qualified for the Boston Marathon? Yes, I did. But okay, that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to put that out there because I'm so darn proud of myself. 15 years of hard work, and I reached my goal. I will be running the Boston Marathon next year. Thank you. All right. Anyway, let's go back to my hobby, running. It's my self-care. It's just a major pillar in my life. So I need running to stay sane, to stay healthy, to do all the things. But you know what I don't need? I don't need all the extra running gizmos and gadgets that are constantly marketed to me, right? These excess gizmos and gadgets and trinkets and courses and running plans and all the things, they're just unnecessary. What do I need to run? I need a pair of decent sneakers. I need, you know, some halfway decent running clothes. And that is all I need to enjoy my beloved hobby, which of course is running. I do not need the latest and greatest heart rate sensor. Heck, I don't even need any heart rate sensor because let's be real, I'm not an elite athlete. I do not need AirPods because guess what? My old headphones with the cord works better than the AirPods. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I do not need a premium training program. I do not need exclusive access to that online running community because let's remember, all I need is sneakers and some running clothes. Now, there are so many smart and savvy entrepreneurs out there. They see a gap, they see a hole in the market, and they rush in with a product or service to fill the hole and make money. You know what these smart entrepreneurs have also done? They've created problems where there aren't any so that they can insert their product into our lives to quote unquote fix the problem that never existed in the first place. Now, I will say, of course, as well, some hobbies do require an awful lot of equipment. One of my friends is a photographer, not a professional photographer, but he's just someone who loves the art of photography. My husband, he likes boats and water and fishing. He has like 5 tackle boxes, and I don't know why. So photography, fishing, those are just 2 examples that come to mind in which you may need a bit of gear. But this, my friends, is where thrifting comes in. This is where borrowing comes in. This is where going to your local Buy Nothing group and asking, well, do you have this, that, or the other thing? Do you have a tent for my camping excursion next weekend? We can still enjoy our hobbies, and we can still enjoy our hobbies that require a lot of stuff without buying new. And that, to me, is what a rich life is. It's doing more of what we love, but doing more of what we love without spending unnecessary money. Because remember, spending unnecessary money, that is wasteful. All right, we're moving on. And you know, we're going to talk about cooking because I can't get through an episode without talking about cooking, right? My next idea for living that rich life, but frugally, being stealthily frugal, is to, of course, cook darn near gourmet meals for your family, but also especially for yourself. Now, I'm going to make a really bold statement. Get ready. The bold statement is this. When you buy food that's fresh and on sale from the grocery store, and this is the key, and you know how to cook it well, you will eat like royalty for a fraction of the price of eating out. I'm going to say that again because holy moly, mic drop moment. When you buy what's fresh and on sale at the grocery store and you know how to cook it well, you're going to eat like royalty. Now, I have been challenging myself as the person in my home who generally cooks most of the meals. I've made it a challenge to reduce the amount of processed foods that this family buys and eats. And for the most part, I've succeeded. Like, I've made a lot of success, definitely, absolutely not 100% perfect. We still do eat some processed foods. But to be honest, I myself usually like food that's prepared by me much, much more than any takeaway or any meal that I can buy in a restaurant. Side note, so I was away last weekend for my marathon. I'm going to talk about it as much as I can. I just am. But I was away this weekend to run my marathon. And I was away, I think, total for 3 days. So the first day of eating out was fun. Eating out for 3 meals, oh my goodness, glamorous. But by day 2 and absolutely by day 3, I was so sick of eating out and I really just wanted a simple home-cooked meal. And because I've worked so hard at learning how to cook, I mean, in some ways, the last 6 years of this podcast has been an oral history of me trying to learn how to cook. I mean, if you go back and listen to the old episodes, I had no idea what I'm doing. So for 6 years, I've been working at honing this skill. And I say that to say 6 years later, like, I'm not the best. I'm not the best. My mother-in-law is much better cook than I am, but I'm pretty good. I'm good enough. This means that my family and I, we eat pretty darn well. I dare say we eat better than if we were ordering takeout or going to restaurants all the time. And side note here, I wasn't going to add this in, but it just popped into my head, so I'll bring it up. Did anybody see the research that was just published maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago today in, I believe it was the British Medical Journal? The findings echoed other studies that studied the effects of ultra-processed foods on human health. And this latest study of course, found that people who consume high amounts of ultra-processed foods have increased risks of anxiety, depression, obesity, of course, metabolic syndrome, certain cancers, especially colorectal cancer, and premature death. So this study is just yet another study adding to the growing body of research about the dangers of a diet that's high in ultra-processed foods. By the way, what's an ultra-processed food? This study was looking at cereals, packaged snacks, cookies, refined breads. That's all considered ultra-processed. So don't forget, we talked about self-care a minute ago. Eating well is self-care. Self-care is not just spa trips and massages and, yeah, manicures. Spa trips and massages and manicures are self-care, but that's not only what self-care is. Taking care of your long-term health is self-care. And one of the best ways you can engage in self-care is by learning how to cook. It is what it is. And I said what I said. Now, related to this, so you want to live the rich life without spending unnecessary money? Plate your meals in an aesthetically pleasing way. I have mentioned on the show before that I have been experimenting with ways to get my daughters to eat more fruits and vegetables. I have learned, I've seen firsthand that when I plate fruits or vegetables in an attractive manner, they almost always eat them. Now, I'm not saying like make a piece of art with berries or even a smiley face. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying don't just slop them in a bowl and expect them to look appetizing, right? So take that and extrapolate. Plate your dinners for your whole family and pretend you're a chef. Like, go nuts with it. Do one of those fancy swirls with the sauce. Maybe you add a little garnish. I mean, if you have china, if somebody gave you or if you registered for or you somehow have fancy dishes, perhaps you use them, not every night, but once in a while. Why the heck not? Now, side note here, I have like three sets of china, one that I registered for at my wedding, one that was my grandmother's, one that's Christmas themed. Like, I have so many fancy dishes. And I feel like I'm not alone in that. Most people have fancy dishes from their elder relatives. It's been passed down, right? I put my china in the dishwasher. Yes, I do. I know that's a big no-no because the metal over time will corrode. Okay. If it's between you not you ever using your china because you don't want to hand wash it, or using your china once in a while and putting it in the dishwasher because that's easier, I say put your china in the dishwasher. You're not using your china enough for the metal to corrode all that fast. You're just not. And so I suggest not every day, maybe not even every week, maybe once a month, bring out the china and just use it like you would regular dishes. I guarantee you, your family will, they'll be so excited. They will feel like they are special. And isn't that what we want? We all want to feel special. You'll feel like you're special too. You'll feel like you're living a rich life and you spent $0. You're just using what you already have. All right, we're moving on. We're moving on and we're talking about reading material. My next thought about living that rich life without spending money is to have ample reading material on hand, but don't buy it. So I have a lot of suggestions here to get great reading material without buying it, and we're just going to go through them one by one. The first, of course, is the library, obviously. Like, I shouldn't even say it. Library should be number one thought on your head. Like, if you're not regularly using your library, what on earth are you waiting for? The library is like my favorite place besides my living room. It's my favorite place, the library. Get your library card and start using it. I posted something on Instagram recently, and oh my goodness, did it get some traction? It was a quote, and the quote, of course, is, "Reading a book is one of the only ways left to experience a story without seeing an ad." Yes, that's true. And guess what? Libraries are one of the few places left where you can get something for nothing. Nothing. you can get as much reading material as you want for $0 at your local library. When it comes to the library, first of all, my family uses it an awful lot. My 10-year-old is like the most voracious reader I've ever seen. And if I was to buy her every book that she wanted to read, I would be in the poorhouse, essentially. She reads like 4 to 5 novels a week. That's not a joke. So usually the way we use our library is somebody wants a book, I request it, and then we get it. Well, I just found a new way to use the library. I needed a book. It was on hold. It was ready to be picked up. So I sent my husband to the library with my library card. He got the book that was on hold, but he also got an armful of books that just looked interesting to him. He borrowed an awful lot of coffee table books that I personally never would have taken out. And when I asked him why he took out all these books, he just said they looked interesting. He got a book on building birdhouses. He got a book on modern treehouses. He's an architect, so that tracks, by the way. He borrowed a coffee table book about America's national parks, which my daughters saw and just loved leafing through. So my point here is go to the library and pick out books that you never would ordinarily otherwise pick up. So pick out what you wouldn't pick up. And maybe you'll love it, maybe you won't, but just try. Another way I get free reading material is by asking my family members to give me their magazines when they're done with them. So I gave my father a subscription to The New Yorker for Christmas. When he's done reading the magazine, the issue, he saves it for me. We've also done this in the past for National Geographic. One year I gave him a subscription to National Geographic. He saves the hard copy for me for when he's done. This is like such a great way to get this amazing reading material, both New Yorker and National Geographic. Highly recommend. I get my hands on it, but I'm not spending any extra money. Okay. And I'll also say too here, yes, this is about spending money, but I have to say that I have subscribed to my most favorite news outlets. I like a lot of news outlets. I do. I like staying informed. I do believe it's important to support independent journalism. That's a value of mine. I'm concerned about the future of independent journalism. And so in my opinion, this is just my opinion based on my values, I do believe that the New York Times, the Washington Post, and National Public Radio are news outlets that are worth supporting financially. Personally, I'm not saying you do it. I'm just saying for me, because what I receive back in terms of insight and education is worth the $50 a year I pay or whatever it is for each of these organizations. Nobody likes a paywall, right? So $50 a year means I don't have to be beguiled by a paywall on the New York Times website or the Washington Post's. So I do believe I get back tenfold what I give. And by supporting these independent news organizations, I do believe I'm living a richer life than if I didn't. So my final word for you today is, of course, it's all about flipping the script, like so many things in life, right? It's about flipping the script from focusing less on what you don't have and focusing more on how you can get what you want in an inexpensive way. And guess what? I have experienced firsthand the fact that when you save money on the things that in the grand scheme of life don't really matter, when you scrimp and save in the areas that don't matter, you then may indeed have the money to splurge on the things that do matter. So keep that in mind as we move on to today's eco tip. Our eco tip comes from Caitlin. Caitlin must have a Lego lover in her home. I've said before, my daughters, but especially my younger daughter, she loves her Legos. If you have a Lego lover in your life, remind them that there is a give back option. Lego works with multiple donation partners. They will give your much loved Lego bricks a new life, and the children who receive your donated bricks will continue to play with them, right? I mean, endless play. These Legos are here to stay, right? Check out Lego Replay. It's linked in this week's show notes, mamaminimalist.com/457. If you, like me, have a gigantic bucket of mismatched Legos, all you do is you put the Legos in a box, you print out the prepaid label, you send them to Lego, and Lego will donate them to children who will continue to play with them. So thank you so much, Caitlin, for that eco tip. We will be back tomorrow for headlines. I know last week we did not have a headlines. Life got in the way, but we will be back tomorrow for headlines. I will see you then. If you love this show, please support it. I'll just say that. Thank you so much. See you tomorrow for headlines, and take care.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.